Fit for Europe, the Fit for Them podcast.
Welcome everyone to our new episode of the Fit for Them podcast. My name is Melanie Groß. I'm currently working at the Open Science and Co-Creation Manager at the Fit for Them project. Today with us is Anna Rosinus. Before we start, I would like to give a brief introduction to our new listeners. The For Them Alliance is one of the first funded European higher education alliances with now 9 partner universities. So For Them strongly focuses on student issues, questions of mobility and digital transformation at the participating universities. Within the project Fit For Them, the Alliance is working on joint strategies and concepts in research and innovation. It's my pleasure now to finally welcome our guest, Anna Rosinus. She's a professor of business administration, specialized in management, strategy and entrepreneurship at the University of Applied Science in Mainz. In addition to her teaching activities, she's a sought-after keynote speaker and supports startups and entrepreneurs with trainings, coachings and consulting. Together with Anna and international experts, For Them have already realized the For Them International Startup Days here in Mainz, where students had the opportunity to fictitiously start their own business to gain insights into entrepreneurship-related topics. So, Anna, would you like to introduce yourself in a few more sentences, and especially what fascinated you about the topic of entrepreneurship and why did it become your research focus?
Yes, sure. Thank you, Melanie. First of all, thanks for having me today and also for having me for the For Them Alliance. The International Startup Days were a pleasure for me. It was really exciting to meet all the international students. So as you have already mentioned, I am a full-time professor at the University of Applied Sciences in Mainz, specialized in strategy management and entrepreneurship since 2014. And you asked about my fascination for entrepreneurship. Actually, what sparked my interest was my husband starting his own business when I became a full-time professor, mostly simultaneously. And so I attended a couple of startup events, visited startups, spoke to network members and so on. And because I'm teaching and researching as well, I started to delve into that topic too. And there is a couple of very interesting side topics. The topic of entrepreneurship is becoming really interesting and relevant nowadays. And so this is how it became my research focus, yes.
So you are strongly connected with regional founders through your husband as well. So what would you say is a characteristic that perhaps all of them have in common?
So what you're asking about basically is the popular topic of entrepreneurial traits. And most of the founders I know have in common that they are really willing to take risk, in contrary to me. And so they are risk-taking, they have this ability to take risk, the willingness, and they're also persistent or perseverant. And this is really fascinating as well, because they do not only kind of enjoy the good times, but they also go through the bad times. They are willing to go this extra mile. So they kind of skip their leisure time and devote lots of their time to their businesses. And they find solutions for problems, which we would not find. And also often they have this kind of authenticity and they really believe in what they do.
So if you want to start up a business, what are, would you say, next to these characteristics, what are the essential prerequisites I have to bring with me?
Yeah, next to these entrepreneurial traits of risk-taking, perseverance, persistence, you also need to be very flexible, because when you finally start something, things turn out differently than you thought. And then you need to find a solution again. And this requires lots of creativity. But also, you should not be afraid of mistakes, because they're going to happen.
Sure, yeah. So through your teaching activities, you are close to the academic world, of course, but also to potential and active entrepreneurs. What are the latest trending topics, would you say, when it comes to startup issues?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's an issue. It's more an opportunity for me. And what I recognize is that many of our students are really focused on sustainability. So you could summarize it in purpose over profit. They want to change something. They want to influence the world. They want to solve societal problems. Profit is a means to this end. So they need to generate profits in order to grow and in order to solve more problems.
Yeah, that sounds like a really promising trend. So it would be great if there would be more progress in the field of sustainability. But how many of your graduates actually end up starting their own business?
Yeah, now I need to be honest. It's not many, actually. But what I have to say is maybe it's not many directly after their graduation. But I know a couple of students, former students, who started their business. And they also managed to grow it successfully. And this is so amazing because when you meet them after a while in circumstances which you never would have expected. So when I think back of these international startup days, one of my former students went there with his catering team and he now serves or hosts events for 1,000 people 5 years after his graduation. This is really amazing.
So if you don't exactly have the opportunity to study business administration or you come from a totally different discipline, what would you say is the best way to get the right and supportive information? Where or what is a good starting point?
I would like to get back to the business studies first. Actually, I always think that for business students, it's hardest because yes, they know finance, they know accounting, and they know strategy, but they can't deliver any product or any service. And so they are able to run a business and also to grow or scale up a business. But if they have nothing to deliver, it's very hard. And the students I mentioned before, they either studied something else or did an apprenticeship in something else, or they're really passionate about something, about cooking, about food, about sports or whatever. And so therefore, it's hardest for business students and all the others who are experts in their fields of architecture, design or whatever. They should visit their universities because they have promising startup centers, right? And when I remember the Fordham Alliance partner universities, they had so cool and creative incubators, startup centers. So this is in general an advice I would give every entrepreneur. Talk about your problem. Be open, talk to people. And if somebody knows about your weaknesses, then they can help you. And so I would visit the startup center of my university or ask where it is, maybe also the Chamber of Commerce. And then what is also very interesting, in my opinion, is co-working spaces, because they often host events of local startup networks. And there you can get in touch with people, can share experiences and also find other founders and talk about how they solved the problem. Because what you also have to see is that in this startup ecosystem or in the entire field, there's also a couple of consultants who want to make money out of advising you. And you don't have money at the beginning.
Yeah. So let's assume I have a promising idea and kind of solid basic knowledge. Is there such a thing as an entrepreneurial gene, or can everybody learn an entrepreneurial mindset?
This strongly reminds me of an academic debate about leadership. Yeah. Are leaders born or can leaders be made? And with entrepreneurship, it's somehow similar, not only because leadership and entrepreneurship have a certain overlap, but also because there is research that many startup founders or startup owners or business owners have entrepreneurs amongst their ancestors. So in most regions worldwide, I just read, it's more than 80% of business owners have entrepreneurs in their ancestors, amongst their ancestors. But it's also because if we look at the entrepreneurial traits, risk-taking, perseverance, and so on and so forth, if not a certain level of these requirements is there, it's hard to train and to study something. But what you also have to see is I think this is the most stunning and the most inspiring thing about having your own business. You will learn things every day. And so you will make big leaps, you will make big steps to become a better entrepreneur. And yeah, this is really, really the best thing about it, I guess.
Yeah, that was, we had this topic in our roundtable as well. And one of the founders told us that one day in a startup day is half a year if you are an employee at a company. Yeah. So the learning is much more higher than somewhere else. So perhaps maybe you found someone and you can complement each other on some point. So what would you say, how important is the team when founding a startup, and how could you find co-founders and potential promising team members?
Yeah, actually, this is a very, very popular question. And when you look at venture capitalists, they often say it's all about the team. I would not totally agree with it, because the business idea is also very important. But for sure, the team matters a lot at the beginning, in particular. At the beginning, it's only the core team who's working, actually. They do everything. They don't have money to outsource activities or something. And also, they can, as you mentioned, they can compensate each other's weaknesses. And doing things together is more fun. I mean, if I remember the international startup days, we were a great team, and we were able to compensate each other and to complement each other. How to find those team members? This is a very difficult thing. As I recommended before, I think the most important thing is to be open. Because if you stand there like very self-confident and with the attitude of, I can do everything, then nobody dares to help you. So if you talk about what you cannot do, then the likelihood that somebody assists you is bigger. And if you attend a startup event and talk to experts, they are likely to become your team members. So yeah, being open, attending events, talking to people, I think this is really important. Networking, yes.
So another approach, especially for those who for whatever reason cannot do or do not want to found, is intrapreneurship. Can you tell us more about this concept and its relevance today?
Yeah, sure. So we call people an intrapreneur if they behave like a founder whilst being employed. And this is for people like me who don't have this willingness to take risk. So they are employed in a company and they work maybe in an innovation department, product development department, or in strategy or something. And there they have lots of room for business creativity, for approaches like design thinking, where they can delve into new product development, finding solutions for their customers' problems and so on. And so you have the safety of being an employee, but you have the opportunity and the possibility to be creative as an entrepreneur.
Great. Yeah. So what advice would you like to give to upcoming entrepreneurs?
There's a couple of advices, and somehow they are all linked together. So first thing is simply give it a try. Make sure that your personal wealth is safe. Then just try it. Because when I remember how many business ideas I had in my past, and they have been realized, but by others. And this is always a pity. So just give it a try. Closely linked to that is done is better than perfect. So 80% is sufficient. Perfection can come later. Because imagine you sit down in a cellar, develop for 10 years the perfect product. Then you sell it to customers and nobody wants it. You have wasted lots of time. So develop any kind of the product which is sellable, or however you might call it, and see whether your customers like it. As I already mentioned, be open. Talk about your problems. Talk about things you're lacking. Talk about mistakes. And very linked to that, listen to your customers, because they're going to pay you. And if you don't listen to what they need and to what their problems, their motivations, and the attitudes are, it is very hard to develop a product which they're going to like. Then another thing, don't overestimate yourself. Because this is what I often see when our students develop business plans. They, for example, say something like, yeah, we do social media marketing because writing an Instagram post is for free. No, it's not. It costs your time. And your time is valuable because it takes on your energy and you need lots of energy to successfully start a business. So ask others for help. Maybe if you can afford it, outsource boring activities to externals, to external experts, and focus on the core topics. And then you have to accept that there's going to be mistakes. And you need to work around them, but don't be afraid of them. Just keep going.
So those are wonderful closing words. Anna, thank you very much for the exciting conversation. I have to say, it's always a pleasure to learn from and with you. And dear listeners, I hope you were able to take away some interesting insights. Subscribe to our Fit for Them podcast and follow the For Them Alliance and on social media and on our website to stay up to date with all of our For Them activities.
And enjoy them. Make use of them. Thank you.
Thank you.